This is a HeadGum Podcast. Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast. Welcome back to Eldermorn, everybody.
Eldermorn.
I'm your dungeon master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
Henry Hogfish, my life is hellish because I wronged a shellfish.
Maria, forgive us.
I see we've committed to that.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
I apologize to the mollusk community.
And then, just a notepad file. And then, of course, we've got Emily Axford.
Okay, this is hard because I wrote a different one, but now I want to do a shellfish rhyme.
Great. Oh, wow. Okay, we're committing.
Off the dome.
Paladin the witch. Looking to pledge herself to a shellfish. Okay, nice. My other one was
incredible.
No frills, mad skills, fish gills, ready to kill for butt tilt.
Whoa.
Oh my God. Thank God you said that one too. Yeah.
I know. Well, the shellfish one was pretty bad, so I really had to pivot.
It was off the dome. It was off the dome.
And then, of course, we've got Caldwell Tanner.
Zerk for Vane. Alchemist who's ready to jam and has never once wronged a clam.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go. That was on my sheet. I came up with that one in the shower 2 days ago.
It seems like it. You said it with confidence, the confidence of someone who had written it ahead of time and was prepared.
Rolled off your tongue.
That's just the energy I bring. That is the confidence I inspire. Let's do it.
All right. Yes, let's do it. I like
Come
that
on,
attitude.
Gang.
All right, gang. Don't be a fucking suck up. I'll kill your character, dude. No! I swear to God.
DMs do hurt the ones they love.
Whoa. No, they don't.
You love me? It's a hard way to find out, but I appreciate it.
I love all of you guys. It's why I'm trying to do a total party kill here. All right. Let's go ahead and do a little recap. So last time, you guys faced Quick Blast, Cass, Calloway in a tense standoff. During it, Fia revealed that Zerk was Stella Vervain's son, prompting Quick Blast to reveal her own connections to the Vervain family.
This sounds like a soap opera.
It is.
It's saucy.
The drama. I love the drama. Cass explained that Stella was sponsoring her trip and was looking to cash in on Batilda's bounty. Once diplomacy wasn't going to work, Fia attempted to send off Bookvar with damning information about Quick Blast, prompting the gunslinger to shoot him out of the sky. A battle ensued, during which Fia and Zerk were knocked out, but eventually Henry was able to use the Horn of the Deep, given to the third mates by Kenley, to summon four Deep Folk warriors who quickly surrounded Quick Blast and evened the odds. Mm-hmm. Henry was able to cut a deal to spare her life, provided she helped his friends, and she did so by giving them health potions. You guys then made her promise not to continue pursuing Batilda, and she left after the Deep Folk rid her of her loot. You then rested for the night while their leader, Luskrar, helped you research the source of Henry's curse. Together, you were able to narrow it down to a spring fairy of the sea, And it seems my players have narrowed it down even further.
Narrowed it down. We pinpointed it.
Moria!
Yeah, you guys nailed it. It's the mollusk lady. It's Moria.
Moria, I pledge Batilda's blade in your clammy
name. Think about
name.
It. All the shrimp tales, all the shrimp jokes, the scampi. Mm. It was in the scampi all along.
That's you, beautiful oh man. You laid the breadcrumbs at our feet and we didn't even know.
It's been
oh my
there
God.
All along.
He's got chapters.
Murph, this is quite a thing to do.
I did it. I've been playing you since the beginning. It was I all along. Beware the mullet. So the next morning, Luskrar warned you to be wary of the greater fairies because they work for their own purposes. You proceeded through the sunken temple using various forms of alter self spells to navigate the underwater challenges, some faring better than others. No, not naming any names. When you guys got to the bottom, you found Batilda, presumably frozen by Olwyn the Winter Fairy before she could bleed out from a mortal wound. Together, you were able to thaw her and stabilize her and began making your way out of the temple through a secret exit. However, before you could leave, you were trapped by a wall of ice summoned by Olwyn, who revealed to have ulterior motives of his own. He wished to keep Batilda frozen in the temple to protect her forever and has threatened to do the same to the rest of you. When Zerk pulled his gun, Olwyn began gathering ice energy and you all braced for battle. And that's where we are now. Everybody go ahead and roll initiative.
Woo!
Oh, boy,
okay.
Right into it.
Oh, no.
Ooh, nat 20, baby.
Whoa. There we go.
Woo.
There we go.
Let's do it. That's a positive can-do
Mr.
attitude.
Mr. Henry, I only got an 11, so if you can finish him before then, very impressive.
Yeah. You're going to need to start off strong because I did roll a 3.
Good Lord.
I'll see what I can do. I was decimated by a whelm last session.
Yeah, he was destroyed by some spinny water.
And the hot water.
Your weakness really is the sea.
What do you get with a nat 20, Henry?
With a nat 20, I get a 22.
11.
6.
All right, to kick things off, at initiative 22, that is Henry. You see, Olwyn is just giving this really long Final Fantasy speech as he gathers ice around him, and you manage to beat him to the punch.
I shall preserve you in a perfect memory.
Too much time talking,
I
buddy.
I will not.
Yeah, I'm not one for the speeches. So I guess I'm gonna swipe at Olwyn with my claws.
Sweet. You rush across the ice here. Actually, go ahead and give me a dexterity saving throw
as you move forward
towards Olwyn.
Of course.
The river has completely frozen over, so it is not like completely slick. It is like packed ice, like the waves of the current have made these like sharpened edges.
I see. So I'm not. Henry's usually a magnificent ice skater, but since there's sharp edges and stuff, I'll have to roll. I see. That's only an 11.
And 11 does it. It's a DC 10. So you're good to move normally.
Beautiful sow cow from Henry.
Henry, you begin to run forward. I don't even know what move that is, but yes, you do whatever that is.
A pirouette.
You're able to get
a triple axel
up to Olwyn, who looks down at you and goes,
"This is not how I remember it happening, Henry. I've pictured this battle in my head 1,000 times since we met earlier today or yesterday. What is time to an endless being?
You planned on fighting us?
What?
Just admit it. You did. You seem so chill, but you were thinking about killing us the whole time?
I am chill. I am quite literally chill. I thought it was a possibility that you would try to take Batilda from me.
Well, I guess you got a pretty good read on our character, because here we go, pointing guns at you.
Yeah, I will say that with my ice claws, I kind of look like Apollo Ono, like, skating across the ice on these things, which
right
is
on.
Cool. That is a 18 to hit.
18 does not hit.
I thought that might
you
be
see,
the case.
Yeah, like a javelin that's kind of like a staff. It's got like a snowflake on one end. You see he spins it around. You see there's like a little magical wisp of ice that blocks the attack from hitting him, but like shatters.
You know, I'm glad that we're doing this version of the battle that you pictured, because it's super awesome. I'm gonna take my second attack. That is a nat 20.
Whoa.
There we go.
Oh, what?
Henry.
No.
I've been thinking about this fight, too.
What, Henry? You were going to fight?
It was destined.
Everyone is planning a fight.
I'm just trying to sound epic like Luskar.
It's like the stars on a snowy night. The snow reflecting the moonlight.
I guess I will start assuming I'm going to fight people more often.
Yeah, you can start manifesting it. That's 19 damage.
19 damage, nice.
And I'm also going to bonus action summon Shank.
Right on.
Here we go.
Hey, buddy, sorry about the whelm.
I'm back from hell. You fucking killed me. You killed me, you monster.
You still wearing a bathing suit?
You sent me in. Why?
I went
fucking,
in too.
It's freezing in here.
The whelm kicked my ass also.
It's fucking freezing in here.
We both got rocked, buddy.
So he just remembers every time, huh?
It is not a new guy that I'm summoning.
I remember you fucking sending me in.
Does it hurt?
Yeah, it hurt like hell. It hurt real fucking bad.
Oh.
Yeah, no. I was torn asunder.
I am starting to think Shank is more cursed than you, Hank.
Yeah, no, I just die all the fucking time.
You know, that's accurate. I'm the second most cursed guy.
That is the lair action. You guys feel the tunnel begins to get colder. The ice begins to turn into like heavily thickly packed snow, and you see little snowflakes all in the air. Everybody go ahead and give me strength saving throws.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I'm afraid it's a snow day. Oh.
17.
You definitely thought about this fight because you have lots of quick little quips that are really good.
I have lots of little lines. I've had this fight 1,000 times in my memory, and I shall remember it.
Is there anyone where we won?
Over and over again, never, no. Well, we all win because we get to live together in a snow globe. AKA this temple, yes.
How are we posed in the snow globe? What are we doing?
You are kind of tinkering away on various elixirs. And
that's fun.
You, nope. Henry,
Zerk.
Have those vicious bone claws away, and instead of kind of have your hands up like you're looking around like an explorer, and Fia, you have your nose in a book. It's just adorable.
Okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to all pretend that we're in a snow globe, and he's going to think he's won. We're just going to all freeze for one round.
Interesting.
Fia uses an action to take out a book.
What'd you guys get on your strength saves?
17.
17!
I was hoping you weren't going to ask, and that one.
Oh, brutal. Henry, you were swinging wild today.
Yeah,
I thought you forgot.
I love that you tried to hide
Henry is honestly in the best position to fail that because the snow restrains him. So the snow would restrain you guys. Instead, it's just going to be difficult terrain. So you guys are suddenly surrounded by thick snow. You guys can have this ice wall behind you. You guys are up to your waists in snow. Henry, ooh, you're stuck in the snow here, but you're right up on this dude, so you're okay for now.
Oh, these shorts, just increasingly a bad idea.
And I can tell you the nut is still exposed. I feel it now.
None of this was ever a good idea.
That is Olwyn's turn. On Olwyn's turn, he reaches his hand out, and you see little snowflakes gather around it, and he goes,
I hope it's not too much for you. The cold snap.
And he snaps his finger. And you guys, once again,
he's got note cards. I see him reading off the note cards.
You see, he's got like a little moleskin notebook.
Do you have a ghostwriter? Be honest. You're writing all these quips yourself?
I write all my own lyrics. These are songs that I'm working on.
Yeah. Are you going to make a musical out of this?
Yes, we're sort of we do the Fallout Boy way of writing a song where Pete Wentz writes poetry and the Patrick Stump turns into a song. I just need my Patrick Stump.
So you're Fallout Boy with only Pete Wentz.
I am the Pete Wentz of the temple.
Everybody go ahead and give me a con save as you guys feel a deep chill in the air.
This crazy winter wince.
Winter wince. 19.
That will be a 9 for Fia.
19.
Fia, you gain a level of exhaustion.
Oh, fuck.
You feel a deep chill in your bones.
Is this affecting Batilda?
It is not affecting Batilda. You see, so Olwyn is not based on what he said, he is not trying to kill you guys. He's trying to freeze you guys. So Matilda is already like almost there. She's already like, you know, five levels of exhaustion. He's not trying to kill anyone. Should you guys fail, this will be a total party freeze where you guys are just statues until someone finds you. So, you know, there's a level of lethality here, but he's not trying to kill Matilda.
So there's a chance 8 years could pass between this and the next
session. Exactly, yes, exactly, yes.
Wow.
I would never hurt Matilda. I just want to keep her forever.
Damn you, Wince.
After the cold snap, you see he's going to take two swings with his javelin against Henry here. Gets advantage because Henry is restrained.
Oh, dear. Mm.
This is going to hurt a little bit, but I would just freeze you if I could.
That's a 23 to hit.
Yeah.
9 damage, Henry.
Ow.
Sorry.
Takes a second swing.
Doesn't feel like you're freezing me at all.
Crits.
You're stabbing me with a javelin. Just
stabs you directly in the heart.
Oh no, you've been frozen by a broken heart.
Just stabbed you with a blade.
I thought we were doing snow stuff, dude.
Yeah, just stabs, you. Stabs you with steel.
This became decidedly less cute.
You're stabbed for 19 damage, Henry.
Oh boy. All right, I'm really fucked up.
And then, Fia, that is your turn.
Okay, how far am I from him?
We'll say 30 feet away.
I will go 15 feet because that's what I can do.
Okay.
And I will Burning Hands him at a third level.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this isn't on theme. No.
Not gonna like that.
Fire.
So he does a deck save.
Deck save, okay.
Sorry to ruin your concept album.
That's a natural 5. He just fully gets toasted.
Okay.
Wait, no, you'll melt all the snow. Stop. You're ruining the aesthetic. This is not how I remembered it. This is different. Different is bad.
15 fire damage.
Ah!
And I would also like to give Matilda her blade. Matilda.
She's out. She can't fight. 5 levels of exhaustion. She has 0 speed. She's got nothing.
Mm.
Owen is actually going to use a reaction on you, Fia. Frigid Rebuke. Go ahead and give me a constitution saving throw. You see, he holds his hands up and throws icicles at you.
No, stop, like this.
Bitch, try to hit me. I got a fucking dirty 20.
Icicle just goes and melts as soon as it hits like the warm area that the burning hands just hit.
No, my icicle.
Just wait till I get in range with you. I am going to hit you with so many flaming swords.
Oh, good luck getting through the snow. Do you need a plow?
What was that? What was that? That just wasn't even a joke. You gave a little laugh at the end of that. It wasn't a
joke. Just a little laugh between friends. No? Why not?
You're too slippery. I'm trying to get a hold on what your angle is here.
Zerk, that is your turn.
Okay. I think Zerk remembers the rune that he saw on the statue of Callista when we were swimming.
Okay.
And he tries to replicate that on maybe the side of his gun. Yeah, I think I try and like etch that rune onto the side of my gun. Okay. And I want to use that to cast Flaming Sphere.
Okay.
Which is a 5-foot diameter sphere of fire appears in an unoccupied space of your choice within range and lasts for the duration. Any creature that ends its turn within 5 feet of the sphere must make a dexterity saving throw. The creature takes 2d6 fire damage on a failed save or half as much damage on a successful one.
Sweet.
Cool. So I just shoot a giant sphere of fire from my gun.
Nice.
At Olwyn.
Oh, no. Fire destroys things. The ice will preserve everything. What are you doing?
If you're going to mount a stage play, you're going to need to use some pyrotechnics. I'm telling you right now.
You see this flaming sphere of fire appears near Olwyn. Or shoots out of the gun stops near Olwyn. And Olwyn will need to make a check at the end of his turn.
And then as my bonus action, I'm going to tell Spritel to add to the pyrotechnic chaos and drop some dynamite on the flaming sphere.
He makes a dex saving throw. Go ahead and roll 3d6. See Spritel throws a stick of dynamite.
It's just like when my mom would let me play with dynamite completely unsupervised.
Why would you give your child dynamite?
It's what my mom did for me. I'm just repeating the mistakes of the past.
That's a 15 for him.
Okay, that fails.
Okay.
So that's 6 damage, though, from the D6s.
Oh, you would think dynamite would hurt more.
It's child-friendly dynamite. I made sure.
You're more responsible than I thought you were.
More like a mean candle. What? Why does don't, it feel don't good laugh that at I our jokes. Laugh?
Okay, we're not
Why
friends.
Does it feel
we're
good? Friends. I don't understand this relationship.
I remember when we were all in that room before and I showed that was fun, you yeah. the little movie. Yeah,
that was good.
Do and the movie ruining. Again.
You're yes, ruining let's the just friendship.
Do it. We could do it a million times. We could do
what
it
What other movies do you know? Do you know other movies?
Yes, I know Edward
you
Scissorhands.
You stabbed me with a fucking javelin,
and you
man.
Tried to stab me with your claws. In fact, you did stab me with your claws. Who okay, really okay. attacked who first? I just stood menacingly and
I just
said...
We can't come back from this. We don't come back from this.
Maybe you just turn into a movie and we leave. Yeah.
Well, no, you have to stay and watch the movies with me. We could watch Edward Scissorhands. We could watch The Nightmare Before Christmas. We could watch Donnie Darko. We could watch...
Those are our three choices?
The Joker movie.
Four choices.
What?
That is Henry's turn.
Okay. So I'm stuck in this ice.
You are stuck in this ice until the lair action. So you can make an attack with disadvantage.
I am going to... swap places with Shank.
Oh shit. Okay. Yeah, I'll allow that. So you see Shank is sneaking up behind him. Yeah, I got this one, Hank. Suddenly is just like 3 feet deep in snow. Ah, what the fuck? What
Thanks
the fuck?
Thanks for the alley-oop, buddy.
You know what? This really feeds that Shank is the real cursed one theory. Yeah, suddenly my pity is shifting.
Okay. Yeah, you know, if we can cure Shank's curse, then maybe I'll be free too. So I'll take both of my attacks.
Great.
That's a 22 and a 21.
Both hit.
Great.
Yeah, so you swap spots with Shank. Shank gets stuck in the snow. You appear behind him, sort of in the air, and swing twice with your claws on the way down.
Okay. 27 damage.
Jesus.
Nice. Oh, you stabbed me in the back just as you figuratively stabbed me in the back when you tried to leave the temple, even though we were
nice.
Friends. We used to be
very
friends.
Nice, Wentz. I could see you shouting that to like a really sick drum line.
Thank
like when
you.
The guitar drops out, that'd be kind of cool.
Thank you.
And I'm also going to use my second wind.
You take a moment. That is the lair action. For the lair action, you see Olwyn begins spinning his staff, his javelin, and you see a swirl of cold fog. Everybody go ahead and give me a constitution saving throw.
Okay.
That will be a 5 for Fia.
22.
That's a natural 1 for Zerk. Zerk takes the pose that Olwyn saw in his snow globe.
Fia and Zerk, you guys take 7. Henry, you just take half. You take 3.
Okay.
Is the flaming sphere causing the fog to disperse?
I will allow the sphere to start to disperse the fog. So you see, while there is this like immediate whelm of a whelm of cold energy... You see Shank begins freaking out. Oh, it's the whelm. It's the fucking whelm. It's coming back.
Come down, man.
It's just not a scary word.
You do see that the sphere of flame is able to help dissipate it.
Oh, ruining the aesthetic. It's terrible.
That's right. Fear the sphere.
That is
you see
Olwyn's
Zerk has note
turn.
Cards too.
Olwyn is going to use a bonus action to Fae step, which is like a misty step. Away from the sphere, so he's not right next to it.
So that's the game we're playing now.
He is going to go ahead and cast Cone of Cold. Holds his staff up. A cone of blue energy emerges.
Okay.
I'm going to say he's going to be able to get all of you guys. Everybody go ahead and give me a constitution saving throw.
All righty.
Okay.
Ooh, okay. 21.
17?
17 is going to pass.
Woo.
Perfect. I also got a 17.
Okay, so you guys all only take 11 damage.
Oh boy.
You guys see this cone of cold energy fills the tunnel, once again covering you guys in like frost and snow. That is Fia's turn.
Okay, Fia is going to take her movement and then misty step to get the rest of the way, pop out of... nowhere.
Okay.
Attack him.
Okay, that freaked all of us.
I just quit, baby!
baby!
Oh, God. Yes.
I did not see this happening. I don't remember
you,
it this way.
I feel like you didn't prep as much as you're saying you did. What did you... walk me through this.
You pictured it 1,000 different ways, all of which were going well for you.
They were all the same.
Wait, I have a question.
Don't you understand? We had it right the first time.
How many times did it end with us applauding your wonderful lyrics?
Every single time.
Okay, that explains a lot.
What happened was I said some really cool stuff, and then everyone all at once cheered. And then you all stayed frozen cheering.
I guess I'm really proud of just how confident you are in yourself.
Yes, I'm supremely confident.
37 damage!
Oh my God!
Good God. You guys see, yeah, Owen is just having this whiny conversation with Zerk back and forth. And then you see Fia just appears behind him, flaming green blade, just like almost beheads him.
Because I do 4d6, because it's 2d6 for my sword. If you double it, that's 4d6, 1d8, so that becomes 2d8. So I rolled two d8s. I got an 8 on each, 4d6s.
It's extremely good.
And then I add my plus 4. So this is all above the board, right?
it's all above the board. He is going to go ahead and use his frigid rebuke. I rebuke you, frigid thing. Go ahead and make a con saving throw.
15.
15 is going to fail.
You know what? You're right. I was a very bad girl. I deserve a little rebuke.
Yeah. It's a very little rebuke, though. I mean, her thing was way more impressive. Wow.
14 damage.
It's just a little rebuke on the wrist.
That is Zerk's turn.
I turn to Spritel and say, this guy should not be your role model. Let's just clear that thought from our heads, okay?
His melodies are better than his lyrics, for sure.
We'll find you a better wince.
Stumped into heavy lifting.
How dare you?
And I think Zerk is going to run into range and pull out his flintlock and say, sorry, Olwyn, but I'm more of a Callista guy! And I'm going to cast Firebolt.
Sweets.
That is a natural 20.
We all done crit on Olwyn. Yeah.
I don't know.
Everything bad always happens to me.
Okay.
Why
see, when you say stuff like
me?
That, it's really unsympathetic.
You just you don't do that kind of talk around here anymore, okay?
Yeah, for real. No one's no one's life is worse than me.
Look at Shank.
No, mine's even worse. I live at the temple by myself. No one wants to hang out ever. Everyone used to hang out, now nobody hangs out.
There's so many other fairies here. What about Callista?
Callista hates me. Oh,
so
come
aren't
on.
You just like a, aren't you just like, well, Callista seems like she's got her own sort of unsavory aspect.
Callista also hates you. Callista wants to hurt you. I'm on your side.
Not
don't you
really.
Guys understand? I'm on your side. She was talking shit about you guys.
What'd she say?
She was saying,
about me specifically.
Oh, these little humanoids coming through, the one with the books, but you can't even read those books very fast.
I feel like he's making this up, Fia. Fia, I don't think she necessarily
said
that.
Fia starts walking towards the door. I need to go read some books in front of a fucking fairy, bitch.
Hold me back, miss. Hold me back. You see an octopus flapping in the ice.
Boofer, I'm sorry. I wanted to include you, but you just don't move fast enough as an octopus.
Yes, no, miss. This isn't great. You see, he's just sliding around on the ground.
Damn, Shank. Why can't you ever be an octopus?
You left me in the goddamn snow.
That's 22 points of fire damage.
Good God.
And then I'm going to, as a bonus action, pettily move the sphere closer to Olwyn.
Stop. We can play this game all day. You know I'm going to dodge this silly fireball over and over and over
stop
again.
Stop dodging it. You look better in this lighting.
No, I don't. I look better in the moonlight.
That is back up to Henry.
Okay, so Shank is immune to all conditions, so does that mean he's not stuck in the snow?
The snow is gone. The snow has melted away.
Oh, okay, great. So then Shank is going to move his 30 feet away from me down the cave.
Okay,
And the attacks are going to originate from Shank's position, not mine.
Great.
Shank, I'm not the guy that put you in the snow. It started with Olwyn.
I blame everybody.
Okay, we'll take it out on him first.
All right.
That is a 21 and a 14 to hit.
14 misses, 21 hits.
Okay.
I was just about to say you guys don't miss, but sometimes you do.
That's 10 damage.
Oh.
I'm going to unleash Incarnation and have Shank attack all on his own.
Okay.
That is a two.
There we go.
Shank, as a shadow, somehow slips on the ice.
Ah! You're supposed to be immune.
My fucking tailbone. Ah!
Slipped on the shadow of the ice.
It's slippery. It's magical ice. No shadow is immune to my slipperiness.
Maybe you can hang out with Maria. They seem cool.
Little mollusks? Why?
Careful. Do not insult the mollusks. I am a
future knight of Maria, so you might want to tread lightly on this thin ice.
Maria. Gross little mollusks. Who cares?
Yes, you say see, that until you see me wearing a dress. Oh,
Just a dress.
What? just see you wearing a dress?
A dress of muscles clipped to my skin.
So not...
I clipped to your skin? Clipped to your skin?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, they're all you? Clinging to me.
To be fair, that would freak literally all of us out.
Agreed, yeah. I would leave. I would run.
You might think she'd be wearing a dress made of pearls. No. No, oh. Not that.
Fuck your mollusks.
he makes...
Oh my god.
I spit on my
an
sword.
Ice sculpture of a clam and then shatters it as a lair action.
Everyone run!
Icicles at you
He's
guys.
He's cursed. He's fucking cursed. He's done.
Makes an attack against each one of you guys. First one against Zerk misses. Second one against Fia is an 18 to hit.
Yeah, shield.
Shield blocks it.
Can I say that? Can we say that out of nowhere a clamshell comes up?
Yeah, no, you're a giant fucking hermit crab, yeah.
All hail the future knight of Moria.
One goes against Hank. That's 17 to hit.
That hits.
Can I chronal shift that hit?
You sure
shift
can.
Shift that hit.
Okay, I'm going to chronal shift that hit.
Oh, I love Neville. The trill of that R.
Fia looks... at what has happened, and she remembers a different future. How about that, Olwyn?
Who would think about the future when there's so many great memories in the past?
I came in here, and you're talking about remembering the future, and now I try to play your game, and you act like it's so weird.
It's just weird.
Reroll the attack. Sorry, it still hits. That's a 19 to hit on that one.
Time devil. If I lost you because I've pledged myself to Moria.
15 damage, Henry.
All right.
Fia, don't doubt the clam.
I'm down.
You guys see Henry falls, and Henry, you're going to be doing, mechanically you're going to be doing death saves, but you guys see Henry begins to freeze. He's not like struggling to breathe or anything. You see he has like frozen in place, and you see ice is beginning to take over his body. That is Olwyn's turn.
Oh no.
Olwyn is going to go ahead and cast Ice Storm.
Well, that doesn't sound so bad.
Thea and Zerk, go ahead and give me dexterity saving throws. Henry, you are automatically going to fail this.
Ugh.
Again, he's trying to take your death saves away, but not because they're death saves. They're like
to freeze
frozen
you.
For life saves.
18 for Thea.
Almost bad.
You might think that this storm of hail that I am bringing down on your unconscious friend is hurting him, but really all I'm doing is trying to preserve him.
It hurts.
You want to preserve him while his nut's out?
That was not my choice.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, but since Henry is out right now, I'll say he's out in like a really unflattering position. it's too cruel.
I will get just him like skinny least, jeans. Yeah. That's
like pinching my nose with one of my claws.
He's just like, I don't think you want to remember him like this.
And I will.
Zerk is watching Henry reach down his ass to scratch himself and rolls a six.
Okay. Just move my arm, please.
Fia, you take 10 damage. Zerk, you take 20.
Oh, no. That is exactly how much HP I had left.
Yikes.
Oh, dear.
I am at one hit point.
You're at one hit point?
One hit point.
Good.
Oh, no.
One. I had 11 hit points, and you said 10.
Oh, no.
I can't believe we're getting waxed by Wince.
You know, he does look very, very hurt.
Oh, dear.
Bad news, though, gang. But luckily, Fia is next in the order.
Okay.
Oh boy.
I will take
it. Henry lost one death save. You see, as he's pelted with these balls of hail, begins to freeze more. You see, Zerk begins to freeze as he goes unconscious and begins entering like a frozen stasis. And then
Spritel is still around, though, right?
Spritel is still around, yeah.
Mm.
Okay. I will have Bookvar continue to move 5 feet.
I'm trying my best, miss. It's very slippery. It's very far. It's kind of just seems like it's not going to happen. Just flops around.
And then I will attack him with my sword. Green flame blade. 16 plus 7 is a 23.
Hits.
I hit him for, 11 damage.
Okay. On death's door.
Ooh.
Fuck, he's on death's door.
Let's just stay here forever.
Thea slows down time to realize this position she is in. I will try to hit him one more time with my war priest.
Okay.
Hell yeah. Don't play his game.
I will use a chronal shift because that did not hit.
Oh, boy.
Does a 20 hit?
20 does hit.
13 damage.
Fia?
Yes!
Finish him.
Oh, my heart is breaking! God.
Holy shit.
Oh, that was okay, tight. I would like to gut him with my flaming sword and then take my flaming sword over to unthaw my friends joylessly.
See, as you pull out your green flame blade, you slash him once, you get him down to death's door. He goes, Fia, no, it doesn't have to be like this.
I say, I know you are just an illusion. I know you do not. You are not actually here. This is a manifestation of you.
It is true. Perhaps we will meet again.
I will not hold this against you because you did save Batilda. If you don't hold it against me.
I could never let a little bit of heart stabbing come between friends.
Anyways, yeah. The fire is like licking you and you are pretty charred now. So I need to use this to unthaw my friends. Bye bye.
So you stab into Olwyn, you see as it pierces his chest, you feel a heat wave in the tunnel. You see the ice around you begins to melt. Olwyn himself is surrounded by hovering condensation as his frosty aura melts away. You see his icy form turns to water as he splashes into the river and disperses. Quickly, all the snow and ice melts around you and the current of the river picks up again. Because he was not trying to kill you guys, once like the curse breaks that he was trying to like freeze you guys with, Henry and Zerk, you guys pop up to 1 HP. So you guys come to, and you see Fia like in the air has just finished stabbing this dude. He turns to water. You guys all fall into the cold water, and the water begins picking up again, going down this tunnel.
Oh, cold, whoa. Cold.
Watch the film.
I'll say you guys are able to, Fia, you're able to get to Batilda and secure her.
Batilda, grab onto me.
A little fang, it's cold in here.
Let's all group up, form a raft.
Here, warm yourself on your sword. This is your sword. Let me give this back to you. I'm sorry that I had to borrow it.
No, you'll do more good with it than I will. Bookvar, where's my tea? Why are you ice skating? Now I'm swimming, miss.
Where did you get 8 little roller skates?
Roller skates? Why roller skates? Not
ice skates, I meant to say.
Well, that was where I went wrong. I was wearing roller skates.
That's why you only move 5 feet.
That's why I only moved 5 feet. So you guys are able to grab Batilda, and you guys start reaching the end of the tunnel. You guys begin to feel the open air, and out in front of you, all you see is clouds from this massive height. It looks as if you're about to go over the edge of a massive waterfall.
Henry, steer us! Henry, how do we steer? Steer?
You know, maybe we do find the side. Let's try to find the sides.
Are you sure?
Moria, yeah. Please shuttle us safely with your clams.
Moria, give us your krill.
As you shout for Moria, you guys suddenly see a few ropes lowered down from above the tunnel.
Moria is kind.
Everybody give me athletics checks to try to grab them.
Oh, boy.
I am out of chronal shifts now, my friends. Hey, that's bad.
Oh, dear. Zerk failed rope class.
Kay. 13 for Fia.
Okay.
I rolled a 25.
Yeah.
do I do it good enough that I can kick my foot out to Zerk?
Ooh. You know what? Breaking a 20, I will say that you'll allow Zerk to do another athletics check.
Thank you. Zerk is prone in the water like a log.
Yes, Zerk is just, Zerk doesn't know how to swim, really. He's not a great swimmer.
Yeah. The key is to find the top. Yeah. The top of the water is where you want to be.
My mom said that if you're on the water, then there's no escape. There's no escape from the villagers if you're in the water.
Sir,
don't learn to swim.
Sir, let go of the vials. You have too many bags. You have too many bags, sir.
I rolled one higher. That is a 7 that time.
Okay.
Jesus.
Fia, you're able to grab onto the rope. Henry, you're able to grab onto the rope. You swing your foot forward, and Zerk, you are not able to grab it. You guys see Zerk is going over the edge of the river here.
How far away is he?
We'll say he's like 5 feet away. Like, he just missed your foot.
I'm gonna summon Shank and put him in the water with Zerk.
Okay. What the fuck?
And then I should be able to swap places with him just for a second to try to grab on the rope.
Oh.
Ooh.
So you're going to summon Shank and use him almost like an extender, like he can grab onto your foot and grab onto Zerk.
Yeah.
Okay, I will let you make an athletics check now to try to grab onto Zerk.
Shank, I owe you one, buddy. That is a dirty 20.
Yucky.
That does it. You see, Shank appears... is able to grab onto Zerk.
I put my body directly over Shank's face.
I can't see. I can't.
Help!
It's another Bjorn situation.
Yeah. Good God.
Shank, your story is so tragic.
You guys see, there is one empty rope next to you guys that just gets pulled up. You feel somebody pulling up the rope with Henry and Zerk on it, and you feel somebody pulling up the rope with Fia on it, and you guys get to the cliff overhanging this tunnel here, and you see that Luskrar and his crew are the ones pulling you guys up, and you see Luskrar just both feet planted in like a fucking wide stance and just just refusing anyone else's help, just pulling up Zerk and Henry on the rope.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Macho Man Randy said.
Yeah.
I give him a kiss on the cheek.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you guys are pulled. You're on the side of a massive cliff. It goes a bit higher. You can tell that that's where the rest of the temple is built into the mountain. But there's not much else higher than you guys. You guys are high, high in the sky on top of this tunnel. And you see Luskrar goes,
"We stuck around because... I was truly curious if Matilda could possibly be saved. I didn't think it was possible, but you've done it."
"Matilda is the strongest witch in all the land. Right? Show them, Matilda."
"That's right."
I give her the sword.
"Do a quick show like you used to do for me."
"Fia, she's very weak."
You see, she...
Matilda can do anything.
All right. I sit down cross-legged.
You see, she just immediately collapses with the weight of the sword. There's just a loud clang as it hits the rocks. She begins unceremoniously sliding down the side of the mountain.
"Ma'am, I'm going to need you to step away from my patient."
Everyone, it's all part of the show.
Henry does a little golf clap.
It's building the tension. She's going
sliding
to fall.
Really, and just really fast.
It's very interesting.
It's going to be a free fall soon. Should we grab her? Because
please?
It just seems like a lot of work to save her, and then for this to be her end, it doesn't feel just.
It's an interesting show. What a twist.
She just seems like if it were part of the show that she would get up at some point. You see, she just continues to slide down the mountain.
Maybe it's an intermission.
This is a Willy Wonka thing. Back. I know any second.
You see Luskrar goes over, grabs her, and picks her up, kind of hoists her up, and he goes...
"We have an outpost close by. We can get her to a bed."
"Yes, yes, we need a bed immediately. So if you have an outpost, we would love to go there."
"Yes."
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up, they are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
You see that the other deep folk begin setting up like climbing equipment and ropes to begin climbing down the mountain. I won't make you guys do athletics checks.
Oh, thank you.
That's good because we all have one hit point right now.
Yeah, don't get hit by like a pebble or anything, okay?
If we all fail, we just dun-dun-dun, yeah. Out.
Xerxes of vulture's eyes staring at him through the night.
No! You just attract these things. There's so many swirling overhead.
Leskar and his crew are really buttoned up. They're all about mountain safety.
Oh, cool. Belay.
Belay on.
On belay.
Wow.
Repelling.
You guys, I'll go down the mountain. You see you are at a lake at the base of this massive waterfall. You see Luskrar leads you to a pathway behind the waterfall. You guys hear the thunderous sounds of the water crashing. You see mist fills the air. And you see Luskrar approaches a fissure in the rock face. And he speaks to it, and he goes,
"Blood from stone, glory to Zel'Baldar!"
Fucking awesome.
You see the fissure shakes and cracks open.
Luskrar, let me know if we all need to speak that, if you need anyone else to yell it.
You see, it begins to close.
What? I've never seen this
before. Wait, blood from stone!
Blood from stone!
Glory to Zel'Baldar!
Bloody
it's like
rock!
The world won't accept
blood
you! It keeps
stone.
Closing!
Stony blood!
Closing. Blood
stone
from stone!
Fucking...
Glory to Zel'Baldar!
You see, the fissure shakes and cracks open, revealing a secret door. Luskrar leads you guys through a dark tunnel that quickly widens out to an underground town. You guys see, the stone beneath your feet goes from being, you know, the dirt and the rock of the mountain to looking cut and designed kind of like cobblestone. You see, in this wide, wide cavern, you see lights and fires in different stone houses around the perimeter of the town. And straight ahead of you, you see the town square. You see dozens of deep folk out and about. The centerpiece is a fountain with a bronze hue. You see an autumn fairy with a stern look in a cloak of leaves. There are different shops and taverns and inns. You see hunters on their way out of the mountain. You see miners going deeper in. You see cooks cooking giant cuts of like yeti meat on a spit.
Nice.
You see there are people out here drinking. It's kind of a mix of work and play. You guys do see sprites in here, too. You see sprites and sprite lamps around town lighting the way with a warm glow. And that's a little bit strange just because you didn't really see sprites in the mountains. So it does seem like these are like kind of an inherently magical people that like the sprites and the sprites like them.
Luskar, how long have your people been here?
We've been in this outpost for a few years. There are over a dozen of these throughout the mountain. It serves our nomadic lifestyle while also giving us some permanence and some protection against horrors or other natural predators.
Are there tunnels that connect to within the mountain?
There
are. So that you never see the light of day?
There are tunnels within the mountain. We don't have to see the light of day, but some of us travel outside to hunt yetis and whatnot.
Very interesting. And pneumatic tubes for mail and sewage and whatnot?
We don't really do tubes.
Hopefully different tubes for each one.
I too would like to know about the postal system.
We just have like magic and stuff, I guess.
Okay, Zerk writes down magic. That's usually the answer. I don't know why I asked.
Interesting. Can I send a postcard? Right now, I'd like to see it in action.
Oh, I also wanted to send a postcard.
Very well. We can pick some up at the gift store later.
Okay, and I actually have to use the bathroom, so if I could see the magic toilet, that would be great. Right.
A hidden town with a gift store for tourists.
Wow.
Okay.
Stationery supplies.
Deep folk from other outposts come here, and they want to get the postcard from Zelboldar 7 to show that it's kind of a thing to try to collect, you know, all 23.
Right. Life is heaven in Zelboldar 7.
You have just placed a challenge on my plate and I will eat it up hungrily. All 23, you said?
23.
Okay.
All right.
We have work.
The outposts are named in dedication to, we once had a great underground city called Zelboldar that spanned the length of these great mountains, but it was destroyed many years ago by a great earthquake.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yes, the fairy Sienna warned us of its impending destruction, but we did not listen at the time, but we always heed her wisdom now.
Would you say all the fairies' wisdom should be heeded? Or wrong sometimes?
Absolutely, okay. Some of them will try.
Not all of them.
We'll try to absolutely fuck you, yes.
Happy okay. to hear this.
You see, Batilda begins coughing.
Oh my god! We gotta go!
I'm so sorry, you just have been so peaceful.
Let's get her to a bed.
It's just, we'll talk postcards later.
We were all also about to die, so it's nice to have a moment to breathe. Let's go.
You see, he nods to a tavern nearby. You see a swinging wooden sign that reads the Earth and Ale Tavern. And he goes,
"My mother owns that place. She will give us a bed."
Nice. Connected.
So you guys go to the Earth and Ale Inn. And you guys see a lively tavern with warm lights and lanterns. You see outside a swinging wooden sign reads Earth and Ale. You enter and instantly hear the sounds of intense drumming. You see there's a shirtless deep folk playing this elaborate set of drums with two big batons. It sounds like halfway between like war drums and then also like double bass pedal metal.
Awesome.
Just like super, super intricate. The dude's like sweaty as hell.
Do I take damage from this?
But yeah, you guys die. You guys
inspiration.
Are dead. Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where it's just like super, super loud and everybody is like screaming to each other to talk in here, but it seems like that's just the volume that this place gets to. You guys see there are people here at tables drinking and having lively chats. And you see behind the bar, there is a woman that looks a lot like Luskrar, but older like him. She has like white hair, but with more like wrinkles around her cheeks and eyes. You see she has the same like septum piercing, but her tusks are pointed downward.
Is anyone drinking a tall, dark stout?
Oh,
and are there any ashtrays for a good celebratory cigar?
Oh,
you have not had a cigar in forever.
No, I've been waiting. We've been very busy. I needed something to celebrate.
I want to smell the sweet stink of a cigar, little Fang.
I look to Dr. Zerk. I look at Batilda, and I look to Dr. Zerk, and I say, "Is it okay if I smoke around her?" In
I
your
think she's
professional
probably
medical opinion.
I mean, Medically speaking, no. But it seems like she's pretty used to it. And honestly, yeah, it might help lead her back to life.
Cigars in my mouth, already halfway ashen.
Luskar, I'm noticing a lot of the children are smoking and drinking. Is that okay?
Yes, we age a little slower. Those children are 50 years old.
I understand. I tip my hat at them.
You see a couple of kids smoking cigars. Hey, you got a fucking problem, buddy?
You're wearing a diaper.
Cheers, little guy. Or big guy. Old guy.
What the fuck did you say?
Forgive my friend.
Yes, Shank, what'd you say to that kid?
This gang of youngsters surrounds you. Hey, hope you don't hit your head on any fucking low beams, tall guy.
I didn't. It was my shadow. This guy said something.
What's the weather like up there? I call you a tall glass of water, but you don't look healthy. Maybe a tall glass of cola. Huh?
Okay.
Huh?
All right. Hardy har har. All right. Very funny.
It's because you're bubbly. They sense your bubbly personality.
Henry, you're shaking. Why is your fist shaking?
No, I can't have a sense of humor about this stuff.
All right. Get the fuck out of here, kids.
Luskar yells at him.
Yeah, scram.
Just wait until you ain't around, Luskar. We'll see what happens to you then.
Okay. Yeah. You come find me. Find me around the Yeti meat stand.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. I'll come find you.
You little punk.
If I need anybody to reach anything on a super high shelf.
I'm the shortest one of the
Actually,
three of us.
You should probably come to me. I am the tallest and I've got long limbs.
They start kind of laughing amongst each other and they go, "Heh, I saw you had to duck to get in the doorway there, long limbs." Talks to Euphia.
What? Well, maybe I was bowing out of respect. You could show some respect yourself, huh?
Yeah, not worth it,
Fia. I flash my tusks. I do like Batilda. A little thaumaturgy to make them sparkle.
You're dropping Batilda.
Go ahead and give me an intimidation check, Fia.
Oh, can I help with the intimidation? I'll grab Fia's arm and act like she's done
You're
this too many
back.
Times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not again. We've been kicked out of too many towns.
Need help? I rolled an 8 and a 7, so 8 minus 1 is 7.
You see, this kid flashes his very large tusks and then takes a sip.
Oh, shit, they're very tall.
Of a thick beer.
I've been out-tusked.
You see, Luskar walks up, talks to his mother for a second. You see, he grabs a key from her. And kind of motions for you guys to follow him upstairs. You guys go upstairs. You see there are a few rooms on both sides of the hall. Luskar uses a key on one of them and opens it, and you find a simple room. You see a gray stone floor with a white fur rug. You see a small fireplace, a large bed with animal fur blankets. You see some furniture. You see a small chest to like lock your items away, and a window that overlooks the town. And Fia, you're able to set Batilda down here. And you see Luskar goes,
"Is there anything else you'll need? I can have them send up some food and ale for you if you'd rather take your dinner here with her, or..."
I will have to. I will stay with Batilda, but you can both go do whatever you need.
No, I need to be here to monitor her vitals. I want to make sure that she's recovering at pace.
I will take a tall, dark ale, though, as I said before, and one for Batilda as well.
Yeah, make that 3. I'm not going anywhere.
Luskar gives you guys a little nod and leaves. You guys see a few minutes later, a servant brings up trays of food and ale. There are these like cave delicacies. They actually look quite good, kind of big shelled creatures with lots of meat inside. Kind of looks like lobster. They are almost
Fia.
They are almost like cave mollusks.
Up at this. I will subsist on enthusiasm for a moment.
I must ask, do you have anything with an internal vertebrate system?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, man.
Most people don't. Fair. Farewell.
You see, he leaves. You see, Batilda is lying in this bed, stirring a little fitful. You see, Bukvar is attempting to make tea as an octopus. You see, he rolls over to this little fireplace.
Okay,
Bukvar, maybe it's time we put on our favorite outfit again. I do find familiar to turn him into a book again.
He turns back into a book. This will be much easier, miss. You see, he starts flapping while holding a teapot and starts trying to light
hot
a fire.
Water going everywhere. Watch out, everyone. Interesting. It's very hot.
The octopus should have been better suited for this.
Yeah, you could have steeped 8 cups.
The suctions, though, are unpredictable.
Oh, that's a good point.
I think as I see Batilda is fitful, I take I take out my hand and I put it over a drink that has been brought in, and I cast ceremony holy water. I want to put some trickster mischief into this to try to nurse her a bit and give it to her, because I have so little to help. This is what I have to help.
You know, we can also put some cave bug meat in there if you want. It's very nourishing. Henry's just sucking the claw.
Yeah, after saying he wouldn't eat it, just instantly gives in.
Henry!
I am hungry.
I angle the cup away from Mr. Henry.
More claw for me.
You do this little ceremony on this ale. You feed it to Batilda. You see she starts to
yes,
come.
Yes, maybe with a little spoon, like medicine.
Feed ale to Batilda with a spoon. You see she drinks it happily. You see she kind of opens her eyes slowly and she goes, ale and cigars. Feels like home, doesn't it, little Fang?
Well, I have to bring you back somehow. Batilda, are you well enough to speak? First off, I have your blade. And I give her the crescent blade. It got into the wrong hands, but I took it back and now it is yours again.
You see, you've kind of just like laid it on her bed. She's not really like moving around a lot. She just kind of like nods and she goes, well, it looks like it found its way into some good hands.
Yes, but you know, there are better hands that are looking pretty healthy right now.
you see, she goes, you are too kind to my extremely unhealthy hands.
I jam 3 IVs into her hands.
Ow! You can do that more gently, certainly.
I'm working on it.
I believe we are in need of introduction. I am Batilda the Blade, guardian of the grove and witch of the woods. Little Fang, who are your companions?
I am so sorry. I did not introduce. I'm so sorry. Batilda, this is Mr. Henry. He is my swim instructor.
That's right. Third mate of the SS Scampi as well. At your service.
Yes, and he is a great sailor, and he is cursed. But with a shadow is who is more cursed than he.
Yeah, much that's more. Right. I can't. There's no me in my bug. There's no me.
I ate that one. I didn't think you wanted any.
And his name is Shank. And then this is Dr. Zerk. And he is a great worker of health and medicine. And he carries with him a little creature named Spritel.
Yes. It's very nice to meet you. I've heard so much about you. Kinley and Via have told us so much about you and your order, and we're just really glad that we can help.
Yes, perhaps it would feel good to know that little introduction is necessary from you, because I have done this already in your name.
We've heard amazing things.
Yeah. You got a really cool train car, by the way.
Thank you. You've been awesome.
I hope it is okay. In the past 8 years, I have had several guests, including the delivery of a wolf pup. Werewolf, of course.
We saw the stain.
Randy finally settled down, did he?
Yes.
That's wonderful. Yes, I would hope, Little Fang, that you would have guests over 8 years. 8 years I was locked away. Is that right?
And yes, and I also want to say I am sorry that I didn't come look for you. It just, I did not know if you even wanted to be found. It felt lucky that you even chose me at first, so I didn't want to push it or anything. If I had known you were in trouble, I would have gathered whatever girl courage I could to come find you.
You see, she holds her hand up. She goes, Little Fang, we're together now. You saved me. That's what's important. Now, you say you've spoken to Kenley. It seems like you've put together a lot of the dots on your own. You've learned more about the Order than I ever taught you. I did plan on teaching you about it someday, but you were just a young girl when I left.
I take out the book, the Guardians of the Grove book.
Mm.
We have had this in our employ.
Well, it has been 8 years. You might know more than me about some things. Why don't you tell me and fill me in?
We know that someone, the Prophet Cain, I think he is called, or maybe you just knew him as Cain. We know that he betrayed you. Alwyn showed us a sort of Blu-ray, because it was blue rays.
Right, yes, of course. Blue magic rays.
Blue rays, yes.
Sort of something, project something.
Yes. Crystal clear image.
So you guys generally fill her in on your adventure so far, unless there's anything you guys want to hide or anything. Is there anything you guys want to hide from her, or do you just kind of tell her?
I hide nothing.
You hide nothing.
We are open book, Vard.
I think words are spilling out of my mouth, and I cannot gather them back in, because I am just excited to speak to Batilde.
You see, hearing back your guys' story and your adventure so far, the two things that kind of shock her the most are that Cain has come back, is something that she did not know. And then she's also surprised but heartened to know that you guys know about Arena and Serenesis, because this was her job, and she's been out for 8 years.
Yeah.
So she might have thought that she had been taken in that time. So she's relieved.
Well, now that we've found you, we do have a few questions for you as well, if that's all right.
Of course.
One of the reasons that we were tasked with finding you is because you're the only person that knows potentially the location of Serenesis. Do you have any leads for us?
That was actually why we called the meeting in the first place, the one you saw on Blu-ray.
Mm.
Mm.
Until recently, or until 8 years ago, most of the other Blades did not know about Serenesis and her multiple reincarnations. To protect her secrecy and keep her safe, there was always only one Blade and one Smith who knew about it, and that was me and my mentor, the vampire Lord Braden Kenley.
Great guy.
Great guy. However, Serenesis, points to Fia. Fia, you would know her as Arena. Had just recently gone on the run again after escaping another attempt on her life. And this time, I was having trouble tracking her down. Kenley and I called a meeting of the rest of the Blades to present our predicament, perhaps not necessarily planning on giving all of the details to protect Serenesis' identity, but just enough to stress the importance that we find this girl before the Reaper folk do. But as we were telling everyone, our ally, Cain, revealed that he knew all about Serenesis. He revealed to the rest of the Blades our secret. He even knew things that I didn't know. That apparently the Reaper was aware of Serenesis and had locked the gates of Reverie until she was hunted down. So effectively, no soul could ascend to heaven. Most of the Blades felt betrayed by us, but Cain took it a step further. He said he'd learned everything from a prophet of the Reaper, a sorceress named Moxora. Moxora suddenly appeared at the meeting and offered us a deal. Join the Reaper's cause, hunt Serenesis, and we'd be on a clean slate with the Reaper. No more being locked out of heaven. Now, the Blades were plenty mad at me and Kenley for withholding information, but joining the Reaper wasn't an option. We refused. Moxora said that we would change our minds eventually, maybe even when we met the Reaper in death. Then she summoned some constructs, and with the help of Cain, managed to cut down most of my friends right in front of me. I'm heartened to hear that Lord Kenley was able to survive. Yeah. Anyway, Cain and I ended up having a knockdown, drag-out fight throughout the temple. He disarmed me, and I lost my sword, but I managed to get him with a dagger in the eye. Olwyn found me bleeding out near the secret door at the bottom of the temple, and
That's the last thing I remember.
I'm so upset that that fight wasn't captured on Blu-ray. I bet it would have been a really cool single-shot tracking thing that would have really been sick.
Yes.
I would have ate that up.
It's such an Olwen move to not show the ending, to just have some kind of artsy thing where it's just kind of left up to interpretation.
Yeah. Right, where you have to assume for yourself, but
right.
Some people don't have imagination, you know?
Where was Maxora from? What do you know about this Maxora? It would seem as if she was the corrupting factor in the Guardian's betrayal.
You see, she shrugs, and she goes, if I had information about her, I would have been more prepared for the Blu-ray meeting, as it were.
What do you think we do? Do we search for Arena, or do we go to the source of the problem and try to find Maxora? Or do we kind of just be like, you know, this is as far as we go. The Blade's got it from here. Hank goes back to being a clerk.
I think I should search for Arena. I want to find her.
I think Little Fang's got the right of it. Now, if Kenley thinks Arena and Serenesis is still alive, there is a chance she has come into her powers and may be able to help us as much as we can help her.
Okay. So we need Arena.
You see she nods and she goes, Arena was able to mask her identity in some way where even I was having trouble tracking her down. Now, currently I am still the best person to help track her down, even though I may not have a lot of leads at this point. Much like the way you feel an attachment to Bookvar, I have a similar magical connection to Arena, being sworn to protect her. But I will say this. Considering my fragile health and my age, I was considering retiring at some point. I believe at this point my knowledge is more helpful than any fighting I could do, although I am still quite capable. But I do think it's important to follow in Kenley's footsteps and do my best to prepare the next generation.
Yes, of course.
Fia, I would like to pass my blade on to you officially. And she gestures to the rest of you guys, and she goes, and to welcome all of you into the Guardians.
I can say that Fia is a great choice.
yes, we will vouch for Fia.
Raw athletic talent there is, it's unparalleled.
It's not all about just being athletic. What about, would the two of you not take the oath?
I take the oath. I'm just a full disclosure. I've been cursed by, I believe, a mollusk fairy. So
Moria?
I don't
Moria
know if you
cursed you.
You know Moria?
We're 100% certain it was Moria.
Are you growing a shell or something?
I inspect Shank for barnacles.
I would say you are incredibly forthcoming. And so I do not think that there is emotional shell on you.
Anyway, often when a blade gets to retirement, they can become a smith. Would the three of you accept me as your smith?
That I can do.
Gladly.
Batilda, I would be your blade, but I don't know if I should use your blade. I think that you deserve to retire with your trusty sword at your hip. Would it not feel good to have it at your side at all times?
Fia, you are my blade. This is your blade. You see, she picks it up and hands it to you. Would you accept me as your smith?
Fia's eyes dart back and forth between the sword and Batilda and reaches out so slowly and then grabs it really white-knuckled.
I will.
Good. Then let's take the oath. You see, she, in a pained groan, rips the blanket off of her and, like, gingerly, she's still pained, kind of like hops up and goes,
I think as I see this, it doesn't even make me think that she's like out of sorts, because I'm used to her just like grumbling and complaining and being like,
right. Bookvar, where are we on that tea? I'm trying, miss. I'm getting used to being a book again. You see, he's fully on fire.
How? Why?
I toss a mending over my shoulder.
He's able to get it. You see, she takes a cup of tea, grabs a piece of chalk from her pack, and hands it to Fia and goes, Fia, be a deer and make a little circle in the center of the room.
I sprint around and circle it so many times.
Well, it's perfect.
Whoa, it's a blur. We are in the eye of the storm.
Fia, this is a perfect circle. I measured it. It's the circumference is absolutely flawless. How did you do that?
I have read geometry.
She flicks her wrist. And with a magical cantrip, lights a bunch of candles around the room. You see she holds her hand out to you, Fia, and she goes, I know I just gave you the blade, but may I borrow it for a moment?
It's yours, of course.
You see she takes the blade back and she goes, all right, now everyone take a knee in the circle.
Gladly.
I take two.
Hey, that means you.
Hey, I don't know if I'm taking the oath.
He doesn't necessarily have to do it.
Bukvar, get in here. Can Bukvar be a blade? I ask too much. Forget it. Pretend I never asked.
No, yeah, Bukvar can sort of be a blade, sure.
I'm coming. I'm just getting a little towel to put down under my knee, if that's okay.
You guys all take a knee in the circle. She puts the blade on Fia's shoulder, kind of like she's knighting her. And then moves it to each of you guys as she does a reading. You see, she pulls out a little book from her pack and begins reading. And you guys feel like this is like a spell. This is like a ceremony. You see, even like Spritel begins to like whip around it in the way that they would during like a fairy promise. Batilda speaks and goes, I am the smith that crafts the blade. You are my ward, my iron. Forged in fire, turned to steel to protect ideals, fragile, beautiful things. Warriors of whimsy, arcane assassins unseen, the trickster's mind and soul made whole by your human heart. You see, she moves the book kind of to the side and smiles and goes, now say this next part back to me, but replace the eyes with yous. And the use with eyes, you'll get it.
Okay. Zerk sweats.
She continues.
Henry's throat clenches up.
You hear the loud crunch of Shank in the background eating a cave monster. She continues and goes, I am the smith that crafts the blade. You are the blade that hunts the horror.
You are the smith that crafts the blade. I am the blade that hunts the horror.
I am the blade that hunts the horror.
I am the blade that hunts the horror.
I feel like you two are just repeating the last thing I said. Okay.
It's hard.
Let's just try it one more time. It's okay to not get it right the first time. Ready?
Okay.
I am the smith that crafts the blade. You are the blade that hunts the horror.
You are the smith that crafts the blade.
I am the blade that hunts the horror.
You see she nods and she goes, and it is a good day to begin the hunt. You see she closes the book with a smack and suddenly all of the candles in the room turn green. You guys see the chalk-filled circle in the stone floor suddenly grows lush with grass, like a small grove appearing in the circle. And you guys see a small leafy green tree appears. You guys kneel in its shade as you feel a magic blessing rain down on you from above. All of your guys' weapons are now +1 and magical and have hidden abilities.
Fuck yeah.
That will be revealed later.
Yeehaw.
Fia, you see Batilda hands her sword to you. And when you touch it, you feel kind of like you do when you hold Bukvar. You feel like closer to Arena. You feel her magic, and you can tell that now you have become the protector of Serenesis. And that's where we'll end our session.
Shit.
Hell yeah. It's official.
Your reward.
We did it.
Wow.
Somebody recognized us.
Wow, the third mate's got promoted.
Oh, wow. Gosh, man, that was incredible. I can't believe we almost died multiple times.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. None of this would have happened if Fia had one less HP.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. Good Lord. My God.
It's important to roll good on those hit dice, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got thorns and roses to discuss.
Yes.
Pronto.
You can hear us talk about all of that. Talk about the show over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet.
UIR the blades. I don't know.
Does anybody have anything they would like to plug?
Yeah, I would plug the episode I just did of Three Black Houndlings. I believe I'm on this week's episode, so check that out. Caldwell's been on an episode. Lou's been on there.
They're coming for you, Murph.
Check them out.
That's right.
That's right.
Looking forward to it. Sweet. Check out Three Black Halflings. You'll see Jake on there. Anybody else have anything to plug?
I would love to very quickly plug just all the nice notes we've gotten at the P.O. Box over the past few months. I've been kind of like saving them up, and I'm just going to read through them all in a quick blast here. A quick blast, Cass Calloway,
blast
if you will.
Blast me with kind notes,
here
please.
We go. Nice notes came in from Kirsa the Dog Musher, Bay from New York, Kayla in Ottawa, Christina in New England, Adam G in Japan. Wow, wish we could visit there.
Yeah. I'll come thank you in person.
Yes, Stephen L in Florida. Good luck putting your aerospace engineering degree to use. Lizzie, ooh, who has helped spread the joy of D&D to friends in South Korea. A postcard of Buck Adams Cosmic Curious Cafe from Haley D. Abigail, ooh, Alex, and Margot. Margot, who just turned 1.5, by the way. Congrats, baby. Love babies. Love babies now. I'm all about babies. A Godzilla postcard from Sarah. Good luck finishing up your masters. Ooh. Tobias, who sent Emily some sigils to use for extra
thank
good dice
you
rolling. Gotta have your sigils.
I did crit today on an attack, and that is truly the best crit feeling ever. So,
thank you, Tobias.
Was it the sigils?
Crit. Nisteria, who sent along some cute dino stickers, and then also a couple of save the dates. We got one from Allie and Tyler in New Jersey, Bethany and Daniel in Illinois, Alicia and Caleb in West Virginia, Elizabeth and Adam in California, and Andrea and Dominic in North Carolina, as well as Aaron and Mark, who, in an attached note, said that they thought that I was the hot one of the group, and this has gone to my head immediately. Thank you very much,
wow.
Aaron and Mark.
Okay.
Just gonna go ahead and
I'm going to weigh in and say that hurts my feelings.
But I do like the spray tan that you showed up with. That looks cool. And you got your teeth bleached.
It's a jarring shade. It's an unnatural shade of white for sure. Slightly
have to
glowing.
Be veneers, man.
It's like so white it's green. It's weird. yeah, 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California, 90027. Thanks again for sending us stuff.
Sweet. Big ups to your nups, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Big ups to your nups.
Big ups to your nups.
Oh, and one more thing to plug. Next week, we will be doing a Trinnyville one-shot.
Oh, that's right.
We already recorded it. It's very fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's very funny. Triplets are truly awful. They're essentially bad guys now. They're
it's awesome.
We saved the world. We're allowed to be bad guys.
It's
now.
So mm-hmm. fucking fun to not have to play a good person.
Yeah,
it's a lot of pieces of shit.
Yeah, they're huge pieces of shit. Yep. Shittier than ever. But yes, this was a 5 Thursday month, so we decided to do something a little special for
thick
the
thurs.
End of the month. So next week we will have an episode of Trinnyvale. End of the month, last Thursday, we will have a D&D court, so be on the lookout for that. And then in May, we'll be back with Eldermorn picking up from here. You can follow us on social media on various platforms that we don't use. At CH Murph is me, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Axford's Emily, and at Jake Hurwitz is Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are
the youth of the nation.
We are
the youth of the nation.
That one
almost
felt
good.
It's the end of the show, everyone, and you know what that means. We simply must shout out our benevolent council of elders, starting with Brad D., Jeffrey S., Haldor Frostback, Steelbreaker, and Matt M., D&D players who sacrificed nat 20s from their own games to help the third mates Womp Olwyn the Sullen. We owe each of you a summoning kazoo for your service. Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Jive G, Zolo Dolo, and Dylan B. Deep Folk Brewers, who created a stout beer so thick and dark that it accidentally turned into a light swallowing miniature black hole. Looks like Via's got her hands full. Schubert the Mushroom, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Andrew M., Beardman Dan, and Scott D., the hairstylists in charge of making sure Alwyn the Sullen's signature swoop is perfectly maintained. Right after they finish, Alwyn refreezes them so that he never has to leave a tip. Rude. Danny P., mixologist Michael McD., Victor T., Balnor's boy, Andrew B., and Kevin S., people who bought Vervain brand fireworks for their children. Luckily, everyone survived, but Andrew B. did get 1d4 degree burns on both their hands. Justin I., Nicholas T., Ragnar Fetterdwind, TJ M., the Gnome Barbarian, Elena M., and Trele the Crayfay. Alwyn the Sullen's speechwriters. They prepared over 300 different one-liners for every possible outcome of the fight, 90% of which were ice puns, while the other 10% were just straight-up stolen Fallout Boy lyrics. Jared E., Austin Bonesaw MR, Danielle R., and cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, teachers at the Deep Folk Gambling Hall / Elementary School who just found out that due to budget cuts, they're also a dog racing track now. Wow. Octolich, Gage M., Richard X. Machina, Michael L., and Sergio Salazar Salomon Zacharias de Sequani, fairy judges who watched Henry's ice skating performance. However, instead of giving him numerical ratings, they all got together and wrote out, "Tuck in your nuts, please," instead. Trask the Traveler, Sir Carl, Jory S., Dana G., Azoth Shadows, Callum M., and Ryan, followers of Zael, the Fairy Lord of Storms. They can summon gusts of wind at will and ride lightning as if it were horses. Despite all of this, they wield only a fraction of the power, influence, and shrimp enjoyed by the followers of Moria. Jack L., Flawless Whale, Temporal, Sam L., Nicholas C., and Reese N.S., founders of the Fourth of Vervain. It's a holiday that the Vervain Corporation is trying to make happen, where everyone gets together, lights a bunch of dynamite, and watches the explosions. So far, it hasn't caught on. Samuel B., Mike H., Matthew E., Colton B., Adam G., and Matteo C., a squad of figure skating octopi that were eyeing Bookfar after his Smafire performance but have since crossed his name off their recruiting list. Nabadger, Panama James, Cummins the Bard, Adrian the Halfling Bard, and Dan, the makers of Cave Cigars, the only cigars meant to be smoked in poorly ventilated underground locations. Nikki W., Grace G., Drew Nasty, CC Lulu, and Jay, the hosts of Cave Creature Cookoff, the beloved television show in which deep folk compete to whip up the tastiest cave creature creations. Having five hosts seems like a lot, you might say, and you'd be right. Barnesinator, Michelle O., Timmy R., Jonathan W., the croc-wearing warrior, and Lucas B., the only five people to ever collect all 23 Zelbuldar postcards. Lascar didn't mention them because their names are so hallowed that even to whisper them aloud is blasphemy. Aaron S., Kevin M., Hogfish's Above Average Hog, New York, and Stephen C., the deep folk that heeded Sienna's warning about the earthquake, but not in the way she intended. They actually stayed right where they were, but started an earthquake retrofitting company, and now they're rich. KJ, Michael M., Raul N., Mike K., Maxwell C., and Karen J., all the previous wards of the previous incarnations of Cyrenesis, who, if they all met, would probably pathetically squabble for Cyrenesis's attention, Fia worst of all. Justin Raccoon, Nick W., Matthew R., Esme M., and Spartagnus. The Deep Folk Public Works Department, which has gone to great lengths to distinguish their sewage pneumatic tubes from their male pneumatic tubes, but still, every day, is defied by misbehaving Deep Folk youngins. Nathan, Casimir the All-Knowing, Big Bad Beard of the Mad, Eric M., and Jack Mehoff, members of Alwyn's pop-punk band. Right now, they just have a bunch of poetry and are currently looking for their Patrick Stump. Burly T, Axel A, Nero, Claudius, Caesar, Augustus, Germanicus, Christian A, and J. Dragonborn, temple explorers who were frozen by Alwyn on purpose. They've requested to be thawed as soon as the emo side swoop hairstyles come back into fashion. Joro, the Inapropro, Liam D, the Sandrayan, Ben A, Faldanus, and Dave H, Luskrar's invisible spotters. They help him perform great feats of strength without ruining any of his mystique. Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Keith K, Kyle H, the Time Walker, and Emilio D. Deep folk with terrible senses of direction. They haven't been able to make it back to the outpost in months. They're currently wandering around in the mountains just shouting, "Blood from stone!" at every rock. Frankie Koala, Big Bad John, Aston S, Blair the Bug, Blair Barbarian, and Porkchop. Ranch hands. No, they aren't hired hands that help out on a ranch, but rather hired hands that help out Ranch while he works on a ranch. It's not confusing, you shouldn't say that it is. Chanel M, Alice, Minette F, Pat L, Achutha A, and Lauren H. Music critics who have slammed Alwyn's terrible lyrics. They have been frozen and will not be thawed until they, quote, remember it better. Joshua D, aka Elias Hawthorne, Maddie Y, Alex H, the eldest Barry, Ryan Est, and the Bone Duster, Paladins of Moria, stricken with a terrible curse. They all have a shellfish allergy. Joshua H, Robert Crisp, Idrassil, Brentley C, Micah B, and Ploops. A wedding party who booked the Temple of the Guardians for their ceremony. They chose the path of the Summer Fairy, and let's just say the wedding night was red hot because Callista set everyone on fire. Carly Ann, Connor Savage, Russell H, Christopher J.O., Logan S, Leviathan, and Demi A. A group of emo deep folks who go to every Alwyn the Sullen show, but so far Alwyn's Patrick Stump has never shown up, and Alwyn just reads his poetry over a badly timed bass riff. BioQuirt 7, Kenny, Remington CD, Amber K, and Everett P. Collectors of novelty snow globes from Eldermorn, but after hearing what Alwyn does, they're slightly concerned. Are those real people in there? Trub, Hop Dropper, K So Say, Jesse DLR, Lindsay W, Champ Wild, and Valen. Choreographers bringing the story of Octopus Bookfar on ice to life. So far, about 4 skaters have been injured in the 8-legged ice skate costume, but that's no reason to give up. Sprite Pepsi, Carlin C, Anthony S, Sally S, and Tristan C, the Goose. 50-year-old deep folk children who learn math by gambling at school. They also learn PE by having drunken bar fights. It's awesome. Jake, Emily S, the new petty king of Outer Borough Sessy. Matthew J, Scrip the Scripper. I actually made that one crazier. Scrip Scripper. And Zane C, cooks who operate the Yeti Spit. The meat is perfectly seasoned, slow roasted, meticulously carved, and they are not having any of Hank asking them for a hot dog, thank you. Michael S., the Bone Duster, Noah, Wyatt B., Loyal Thurger, Rogue Cree, and Daniel N., waiters at Earth and Ale, who have learned to read lips as it's impossible to hear over the nonstop drumming. They wouldn't have it any other way, though. Sam N, Joseph H, David S, Mr. Dude's Guy, Conflicted DM, and Justin LB, an Eldermorn Olympic volleyball team who are obsessed with recruiting Fia so they can harness her raw athletic ability to win this summer. Connor P, Dandy, Jennifer R, Clifton A, Reverend Chatterbones, and Richard G. All tied for the record of eating the most cave creatures at Earth and Ale. So far, the record is 1. So we'll see if Shane can beat it. That's all. Thank you all. We love you. Y'all are so good to us. Goodbye, sweeties.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.